Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest tonight is Mark Moore, and he has a new book called Core 52, a 15-minute daily guide to build your Bible IQ in a year. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Oh, man, thanks for having me on. I'm honored.
Would you say that there is a lack of biblical literacy in our culture?
Oh, yeah, and it's getting worse with every passing generation. I remember when I started preaching 30-plus years ago, you could refer to Noah or Jonah or even to the Apostle Paul. Now, whenever we preach, we just have to explain every name, every passage. And the problem for me with that is not just that people don't know the Bible, okay? You know, there's a lot of names and dates, and that's not so important. But when people don't know Scripture, they lack a biblical worldview, and that impacts everything from environmentalism to politics to family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the goal of this is to try and make the Bible more accessible and give people a start. It's interesting how once they get the basics and they're not so intimidated by the book, then it opens the whole thing up for them, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And there's actually some biology behind that. When God created our brains, the way we learn is by connecting one thought to another, kind of like a spider web. The spider web doesn't actually cover all the space to catch flies. It covers the critical space. So if you can draw lines and connections in the right places, then you can be off to the races with your own study and discovery in God's Word.
Excellent. Now, when you wrote this book, how did you decide what things you were going to put in as the core?
Yeah, because let me just state this outright. It seems a little bit arrogant for one person to say, of all the Bible, these are the 52 verses that are most important. Except that I spent over two decades in a college classroom training pastors. And then for my entire career, I now serve as a teaching pastor in a church in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. We have thousands come every week. I've just observed over 3.5 decades of ministry what verses take people further faster.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you're right that there are certain things that other things are built upon. And once you get that foundation, once those things are clear, then the rest of it tends to follow, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And what has really been a surprise in ministry is how predictable people's growth is based upon what spiritual disciplines they're involved in. So prayer or worship or fasting. The fact of the matter is, and we know this, we're not even guessing at this. This is not my opinion. People who engage in the Bible 4 times a week or more have much healthier lives than virtually any other spiritual discipline.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I had a phone call from the pastor of a nearby church when I was a young pastor starting out on Cape Cod. And the fella asked me, he said, do you mind answering some questions? I said, no, not at all. He said, I did not know him well. We had met at, you know, July 4th functions and things like that. But he said, what are you doing over there at your church? He said, we see all these young people going to your church. What are they going there for? And I said, well, you know, we're just having worship there. And he said, yeah, but they stay sometimes for hours. What are you doing with them? And I said, oh, well, we're studying the Bible. And he said, you're what? I said, we're studying the Bible. He said, why would they be interested in the Bible? And I said, well, we start with the premise that it's true. And he said, really? Wow, that's interesting. You see,
well, that is a major misconception. People think that because the Bible is old, people are disinterested in it.
Yeah.
The fact is, no generation more than this one is interested in ancient wisdom, because the more information we have, the less wisdom we have. And statistics have shown that 80% of people in your church want to know the Bible better. But what's most surprising is that when you survey the general population of all those who want to know the Bible better, 60% are in no church.
I think they could go to a lot of churches and they wouldn't know the Bible better after 5 years.
Well, unfortunately, that is the case. And a part of the problem, and look, I'll admit, as a teaching pastor, I'm part of the problem, because I've tried to make things too complicated. Look, I love ancient history. I love apologetics. I love textual criticism, for crying out loud. Just because I love it doesn't mean that the person in the pew is going to benefit from it. And so rather than starting with the question, is it true, I try to start with the question, is it helpful? And these verses in Core 52, they help with your marriage. They help with addictions. They help with psychology. They help with building a business. God's word isn't just true. It is foundationally helpful for healthy lives.
I would agree that it is foundationally helpful for healthy lives. But if it weren't true, then you'd be building on a sandy foundation.
Absolutely.
And the reason that I welcome you on this broadcast is, looking through your book, you make statements like, heaven and hell are real places described in the Bible with the best metaphors available. Demons gain greater access through the occult, sex, drugs, and dark music. Conversely, they're hindered through scripture, praise, and prayer. Obviously, as you're teaching through the scriptures in this book, you are working off the premise that if the Bible says it, we need to understand it, but we also need to believe it and obey it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you're talking to a guy that I believe that the entire scripture is true and inspired. In fact, if you press me on it, I'd probably even argue for the maps and the table of contents. That's how much I believe in the truth of God's word. But it is not an academic pursuit for me only. I sat with a guy yesterday morning whose marriage is on the rocks, and it's the truth of scripture that is going to put them together.
Amen.
Whether it's addiction or building business. I sat with six of our campus pastors this morning, and all of them come out of the business world, and we're talking about how scripture is the foundation for good business practices.
Yep. Well, it's the foundation for life.
Yeah, it is. And I had an interesting conversation with a Chinese politician who reports directly to the premier of China. His role is to rebuild the ancient Silk Road. And the reason I had a conversation with him is he was asking us to send Christian businessmen to China to teach business practices from a biblical perspective. The guy's a Buddhist, but he knows that in order for them to succeed in their future economically, you can't ignore the biblical principles of honesty, truth, hard work, and ethics.
I have a friend from Egypt, and he said that the government there, regardless of who has been in charge through the last several regimes, whoever is in charge wants to be sure and have Christians handling the money.
Wow. Wow.
Because, I mean, even though they themselves are not Christian, they know those folks don't steal. And so we want them in charge.
For the benefit of our listeners here, part of what drove me to this Core 52 is I want people to be able to know the Bible, but I also know with the constrictions of our frenetic schedules, we only have so much time and energy. And so rather than telling people start in Genesis and end in Revelation, I'm saying here are the core passages that if you get these under your belt, and it will take 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week for 1 year. The first day is simply reading the chapter. And if you go to the website, core52.org, core52.org, there's also some support teaching videos. I believe in Bible memorization. And mm-hmm. I know people say, well, I can't memorize the Bible. Actually, you can. Mm-hmm. And we've produced a video for each of the verses that will help you do just that. But by reading the chapter, memorizing the verse, meditating on other verses that say the same thing, mm-hmm. reading a Bible story, and then the fifth day is doing one thing that will put into practice the principle you've learned. People are, like, all over the country. I've been very stunned, actually, at the response of people, both new believers and pre-believers and mm-hmm. old believers, who are saying, this is making an incredible difference. It's like going to Disneyland and getting a fast pass. You almost feel like you're cheating because you're getting to the head of the line, past people who have worked really hard for a long time to know the Bible, but you're just doing it in a smarter way.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you have been willing to tackle in this book a whole bunch of things that I know preachers who shy away from because they don't want to say anything that might be controversial. They don't want to say anything that might make people uncomfortable. You go ahead and just help people, and you start out by sharing it straight from the scriptures, because God's word has intrinsic power. It is alive, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so when you share, you don't just say, one of the things I've found helpful is the idea that whatever. You start out by quoting from God's word, and then you expound on it, and you share, and you illustrate, and you bring in other scriptures, and you give folks assignments, as you said, including memorization, which, you know, we require scripture memorization here at Wares Valley Ranch. Our kids come in from all kinds of different backgrounds, and we tell them, now, you know, you're going to have to memorize some things here. One of the first things you need to memorize is Psalm 1. And they look at that and they say, oh, I can't memorize. And I say, what's your name? And they tell me, and I say, you didn't have to look that up, did you? And I begin asking them a few other questions, and they begin to realize, okay, I have a whole bunch of stuff memorized. And the key to memorization is simply repetition. This morning, I watched a video from one of our students who wanted to earn a trip to the beach in Florida. And so she recited the entire Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. She's memorized all three chapters and was able to stand there and recite the whole thing. And, you know, that afterwards she asked, you know, did you see the video? Because she did it on video. She said, did you see the video? I said, yes, and you've earned a trip to Florida. Well, she was thrilled. She was absolutely thrilled. But she's one of several kids. Every year, we take kids to Florida to the beach because they've earned it by memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. One year, we had a boy who said, he was 10 years old. He said, what would I have to do to earn another trip? And I said, well, you've already done those three chapters. For your next assignment, let's do four chapters. Romans 8, Romans 12, Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 12. Within 3 months, he had those memorized.
That's phenomenal. And that's the best investment that you'll ever make in that kid's life.
Well, and he's now in medical school. I'm just telling you, it is good for the brain to exercise it by hiding God's word in your heart. And it is amazing. My older brother, like the rest of us in the family, had to memorize scripture growing up. When he went far, far, far from the Lord, during Vietnam, he was over in the Far East serving in the U.S. Navy as a medic stationed with the Marines. And he said, I'd be about to do something that I shouldn't do, and a verse would explode in my mind. I would hear God's word saying, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And he said, you know, it was awful because mom and dad had planted all these seeds through God's word in my life. And it spoiled, he said, it didn't keep me from sinning, but it spoiled the fun.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that's why what you're doing is so critically important. When Paul describes the armament of the Christian in Ephesians 6, the
yes.
helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, you know very well, our listeners probably know as well, that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God.
Amen.
But the word that is used for word is not the written word. It is rhema, which means the spoken word. So if a Christian simply reads the Bible but doesn't have the capacity to speak it, whether that's word-for-word memorization or some other kind of summary, mm-hmm. when you speak the word, that is your only offensive weapon against the evil one, and it sends him packing.
Amen. And Jesus modeled that for us when he was tempted by Satan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
His response was to speak the word of God.
Well, and it sounds like what you're doing there at the ranch is really investing a biblical worldview into young people that changes their trajectory in life. I love that.
Amen. That's our goal. That's our goal. I want to thank you for investing so much time and energy, and I know prayerfully, in putting together this book, Core 52, a 15-minute daily guide to build your Bible IQ in a year. And I want our listeners to understand, as you get into the Word and you begin to develop a biblical worldview, it's easier and easier and easier to read and understand the Scriptures. And furthermore, Mark, I know that you know this firsthand. When you're reading the Bible, studying the Bible, praying through the Scriptures, and you come to something that's difficult, you actually have access to the author, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
And that makes all the difference.
Yeah, and I would say even more, obviously you and I would both agree that the Holy Spirit inspired the Scripture.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit is not an author. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. So he is going to give just as much attention and energy to help you read his words than he did to help the writers put it on paper.
Yeah, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote. And it is God-breathed, but you're exactly right. He doesn't give you the book and say, okay, good luck. He's right there living in the believer. And he will help us to understand. And there have been many times I've encountered things in Scripture, and I was like, okay, I don't get that. They didn't cover that in seminary. But when I ask the Lord, show me what you want me to see here. Help me to understand what you want me to know. God is faithful. And sometimes things that puzzled me for years, all of a sudden you have that epiphany, and you realize, oh, thank you. Now it makes sense. Now it comes together. And after all the years that I've been studying through the Bible, reading the Bible through, and teaching passages, I'm still learning stuff. I'm 65 years old, and I am still learning and enjoying it.
It's a pretty deep well. And I would just, if I could speak directly to our audience,
mm-hmm.
if you have always wanted to know God's Word, and have not accomplished that bucket list item, Core 52 is a tool that's going to move you from curiosity to confidence if you will just put in the minimal effort, 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, 1 year. You really can know 90% of what your preacher preaches. It is not beyond your grasp.
Well, and I want to encourage folks to remember what the Apostle Paul said, and if you don't know the Scriptures yet, you may not have run across this verse, but bodily exercise does benefit in a small way compared to spiritual discipline, which has benefits for eternity.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're spending more time on your physical fitness than you are on learning God's Word, you've got your priorities out of line. And I'm not telling you to quit exercising physically, But certainly, what Core 52 calls on you to do is not asking too much.
Yeah, that's right. And it's readily available. Again, I want to reiterate the website because everything on there is free, and it will support not only your individual reading of the book, but also small group materials. If you have an accountability group, you can literally log onto the website, and it will track your progress like a Fitbit. It costs you nothing, but may gain you this huge benefit of having a biblical worldview and thinking the thoughts of God after him.
Amen. Amen. Well, and chapter 33, or week 33, starts out with a verse that probably is the one most people are most familiar with. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I think a lot of times people feel as if they're doing God a favor when they believe in him or when they try and do what he says. The fact of the matter is, God loves us. And he loves us so much that he sent Jesus to save us at a cost that's beyond our comprehension. When you study the Bible, you're not doing God a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. You're doing something that will benefit you eternally if you will believe and obey what God says.
Yeah, and what's so powerful about that verse for me is the simple word love, which some might know is the Greek word agape. You've maybe heard a sermon before that agape is this divine love and that it describes the sacrificial love of God, which it does. But the fact of the matter is, linguistically, prior to John using that word in that specific way, the Greek language did not have a specific definition of self-sacrificial love. In other words, John picked up a Greek word that was kind of laying around. It was used here and there. He used it in such a pointed, specific way to describe a love that we had never experienced before that it changed the definition of that Greek word. And what I have experienced in my own Christian life is that there are words that we use that are so specific to our environment and our context and experience that we literally redefine words in the English language.
Hmm. Well, I'm reminded of what John says about that love in his first epistle when he says, you know, what kind of love is this? That God would call us his children. And that's what we are. God has made us part of his family. And that is just mind-blowing. If you really believe the good news, that's why the Bible calls us to repent and believe the good news. We start out in a position of disbelief. I can't believe that God really loves me. I can't believe that God really cares for me. And yet he's proved it in Christ Jesus. And I believe as you study his word, folks, God will continue to speak to you because his word is alive, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will pierce your heart, and it will open you up to the truth of his love and grace and holiness. So I want to commend this book to you, Core 52, a 15-minute daily guide to build your Bible IQ in a year. You can go to the website. Mark, give us the website again.
Core52.org.
Core52.org. Go to that website. The material there is free. It'll supplement the book. And I want to encourage you to get into the Word and to get strong. God loves you, and you don't want to miss out. Thanks so much, Mark, for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
God bless you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.